is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Well, good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in one more time to the Refresh Radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's modern worship. And we want to start off today's program by letting you know that our facility has some maintenance that is being done to it today and tomorrow and Thursday, and so it is off limits. There is not going to be anyone allowed to be at the property for safety issues or things like that. So we've got a crew that's coming in, and I'm gonna take care of a small problem that we have. And so there will not be a midweek service tomorrow night. So just to give you a heads up, no Bible study on Wednesday night. And we look forward to solving our problem and not having to deal with it for another prolonged period of time. So we're very excited about all of the things that are not going to be causing us difficulties in the days to come. So thank you for making us a part of your day, and pray that as we get into God's Word today, that you will find your heart being liberated from the cares of this world and being established on the things that God would have us to focus on. So we're going to return to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. And we'll start off reading with verse number 1 today and stop at verse number 5. And then we'll come back and read some more. It says, "Pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification." Let's just continue reading on down to verse number 12. "But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether flute or harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in the sounds, how will it be known what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise, you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, if may be, so many kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks will be a foreigner to me. Even so, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." So we started talking about this just a little bit on yesterday's program, where we need to pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. It is not selfish. It is actually quite selfless to desire to grow in our relationship with God so that we can be a blessing to those around us. That's what Merritt Assembly of God exists to do, and that is to be a blessing. So I want to encourage you in the early parts of this 2020 that you set your heart on seeking the gifts, the best gifts, the greater gifts the gifts that God would have you to operate in, the gifts that are necessary for you and I to benefit the church around us. Okay, we've talked on that. So I want you to set your heart on gifts and say, God, how do you want to manifest your goodness and your grace, your holiness? How do you want to manifest that in my life? And then, God, you have free reign. You have sovereignty to move as you see fit. I have this mindset that has worked well for me. Other people don't necessarily agree with this mindset, but I find it to be a very biblical one, and so I want to go ahead and continue to operate by that. And that is this: God is my commander in chief. And just as a commander in the chief in a military has the ability to give orders, and those orders will be followed no matter how the person feels about it, no matter how inconvenient those orders may be, or how perilous those orders may be, I have that mindset towards God, that God is not really needing my permission when I signed up to be forgiven of my sins and for him to be the Lord of my life. I said, God, here's my life. It is yours to do with as you see fit. And, you know, several years ago, back in 2006, we had families that were in our church and they were in the military. We've got military families in our church now. And just like then, I'm sure that the military families that are in our congregation now, at some point in time, their commanding officer will go to them and say, here are your new orders. This is where you are supposed to report. And at that point in time, they will have to pack up and they will have to move. And when that happened in 2006, we were right in the middle of about 40% of our congregation scattering across the country. And I said, you know, the commander of the Air Force Base did not even consult me, did not even ask me about whether or not I thought it was a good idea for those people to be stationed elsewhere, because he didn't have to. He didn't have to. And so I have the mindset that however God wants to use me, whenever he wants to use me, with whatever gifts he wants to manifest in my life, then I'm going to do those. But I am going to show the eagerness and the earnest desire that I have for him to manifest those gifts in my life. There's a joke that I've seen on television a number of times about people who are in the military, and the way that these scenes would take place is the commanding officer would say, I need a volunteer who would be willing to do this. And one person wouldn't be paying attention. And while he was off in La La Land, everybody else would take a step backwards. And that meant that guy had taken a step forward. Then he just volunteered for this undesirable mission. I want you to know that I'm not wanting to be that way when it comes to the mission that God has for us. I want to be saying, you know, here I am. I'm going to step forward. I'm going to raise my hand. I'm going to volunteer my mouth, my heart, my life, my mind, my finances, my home, whatever is needed of me, God, it all belongs to you anyway. I am just a steward of it. So I didn't really intend for this to be a military-themed lesson, but I know people who are in the military, and the military would give them custodianship of military equipment, be that their uniforms or their arms or whatever it might be. They would say, here is this equipment, and it is in your charge. And every once in a while, they would call for an inventory of the supplies. And so the military people would have to go and say, okay, here's my gun, here's my hat, here's my belt, here's my uniform, here's my boots, here, everything that had been entrusted to them. And if they were not able to demonstrate stewardship, then not only would there be a blemish, but they would also have to pay to have what had been entrusted to them replaced. You and I, God wants to entrust us with supernatural gifts. Verse number 2, I don't think that we talked too much about this on yesterday's program, about what I'm getting ready to say anyway, where it says, "For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries." So I realize that speaking in tongues is a very controversial area of theology, and it makes a lot of people nervous. I can tell you that when I've gone to other countries and they speak a foreign language, that sometimes I have known that people who were speaking in a foreign language in my midst were doing so at my expense. I could tell they were taking advantage of my lack of understanding. And so at that point in time, you kind of hope that you understand a little bit more than what they let on, because then you know where you stand. Other times I felt very comfortable when I was there, because I knew that they were operating and there were people who were interpreting for me. So let me just say this. It says in verse number 2 that he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. And what I'd like to share with you is this. Do we as a church really think that we are overdosing on speaking to God? Is there really an excessive abundance amount of prayer that is going on in the church? Could there ever be such a thing as speaking to God too much, having communion with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? Could we really do that, or are we like most people, willing to admit, you know what, I could afford to pray more? So speaking in tongues, it says that we are speaking to God. There are a lot of people who get very, very nervous. They think it's demonic, which I encourage people, be very, very careful about that, because you don't want to attribute Holy Spirit work to demonic influences. That's just not a great thing to do. But because the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets, that gift that has been entrusted to me, I operate it with a great deal of wisdom. It's not there to be an offense. It is a gift that is supposed to edify. Whenever I am praying in the Holy Spirit, it edifies me. It builds me up. And I, just with the same tool of evaluation that I mentioned about, do we really think that we are praying too much? I want to ask you, do we as a body of believers really think that we have been built up to the max, that we have reached full capacity of our infrastructure, of what God is possible, that God is willing and able to accomplish in us? Have we really reached the extent of God's possibilities in our life? And I don't think so. Here's what I feel from my observation and years of the ministry. I feel like believers are really pretty beat down. I think as the level of persecution and the level of a forsaking of love for God has increased in America, that a lot of times believers are just weary. And so I think it is perfectly normal for a believer to say, you know what, if there's no one else that is around that is going to be able to edify me, I'm going to spend some time in the presence of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to have my fellowship with God edify me. Now, you know, I highly encourage that. I believe that there is benefit to it. So we need to set our heart on edification, not just of ourselves, but we also need to realize that we are there to edify the church. So set your heart on gifts, set your heart on being edified, and set your heart on edifying. Verse number 4 says, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Now, this verse here really begins to butt heads, if you will, with the mindset of consumerism that many people employ when it comes to picking their church and using their church. And I want to tell you, I am a firm believer that God chooses the times that we live and the places that we live and the places that we serve. So whenever we have a visitor that comes to our church, we as a congregation pray for them and say, "God, you know the church that is going to be the best place." We pray with enough understanding to know that Merit Assembly of God is not going to be the best place for everybody. Not because we are looking to exclude, we just know that there's a lot of different people out there, and we want the place where they can benefit from being in a bond of fellowship with people who are united in faith with them, just the same way as we want the place of commanded blessing to be an operation at Merit Assembly of God, where people are called, equipped, and united. Listen, if I wasn't called to Merit Assembly of God, we would have bolted a long time ago. And so we began to pray, "God, you call people in. You bring them in so that they have a heart for you, not just because it is convenient for them, but because it's a walk of love and a walk of commitment and a walk of blessing." So if people were to say, "God, I want you to place me in the body of Christ where I am going to be able to not just be a sponge and soak up everything that comes my way, but a place where I can serve and edify other people." Edify the church. I think it's a whole lot easier doing construction when there are more than one person involved in the project. So whenever I have taught a class, I've taught Bible school in Fiji via, Skype. I have taught the District School of Ministry. I've taught that in person, and then also through video conferencing, done that. And what I find is that when I teach, I end up learning more than what I am able to communicate. I believe the same thing is true whenever we allow the gifts of God to operate in us for the edification of those around us. We're going to find that that also edifies us. So I pray that this year you will have a heart that is set on being a blessing, a spiritual blessing, a relational blessing to those that you worship with. If you do not have a church home, I hope that you hear this so many times from me that you will be motivated to find a church home. If you do not have a church home, find one. You are in desperate need of being surrounded with other brothers and sisters in Christ to edify you, as well as you being used by God to edify other people. I know that not everybody has the physical capabilities. I know that there's been some things that may be hurtful in people's past, but I want to commend you to the God of all comfort, who will lavish his comfort upon you and then use the comfort that he has bestowed in your life to bring comfort to those around you. So if anything that 1 Corinthians chapter 14 tells us, it is this: the words that we use have a powerful impact on people's lives. Words have a powerful impact. And it's meant, it is God's desire for our words, our mouth, to be used by him to build people up, not tear them down. And so I've been doing this for 27 years at Merit Assembly of God, been in the ministry a lot longer than that. And I've shared with you on the radio program before, I've had people who use their mouths before I came to Merit Assembly, not to build me up, but actually the words that they spoke had the opposite effect. They were pretty discouraging words. They weren't edifying. They were pretty discouraging. You know, a lot of people say things because it makes them feel better. God wants us to use our mouth to speak things that will make other people better. Whenever I've had to speak a word of correction, it truly is like that parent's old saying, you know, this is going to hurt me a lot more than it hurts you. It's been very, very difficult to go and say to a person, hey, you know, there's an area of your life that we really need to call it back under the lordship of Jesus Christ. But I've also experienced what it's like when I don't speak that word of encouragement. And many times when I've had to speak prophetically into people's lives, it would come along with this caveat: I sure hope that you respond to this. If you don't respond to this, I sure hope that I am wrong in the damage that you are facing in your life. Because believe me, I would love to be wrong. I would love to be wrong when spouses don't repent, and I'd say, you know what, I hope I'm wrong, but if you don't change this, it doesn't look good for your marriage. But the word of God isn't wrong. So it goes on here in verse number 5, and it says, for he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets, that the church may receive edification. Let's go on down to verse number 6. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you, unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? You see, Paul recognized that when he came to church, it wasn't about the prophet that was going to be dispensed to him. It was how was he going to be able to benefit the ones who would hear the message that he had to communicate. And so he said, not everything that I communicate is going to come from the same style or for the same purpose. He said, there are times he goes on and he tells people, he said, I pray in tongues more than anybody. It wasn't something that he wasn't encouraging or discouraging. It was something that he applied in his life. And he said, but if I come to you and I speak in a manner that only benefits me, then we're not going to have a tremendous church service. we're not going to be having a church service that is, you know, plundering the kingdom of darkness. He says, so when I come, I want a prophet, and I will do that either by speaking by revelation, something that God has is revealing at that point in time, by knowledge, something that God has imparted to Paul through years of experience, by prophesying, where the Spirit of God moves in him in such a way that there is a prophetic invitation back to the Word of God. And he said, and sometimes it will be by teaching. By teaching. Teaching is not just the teacher getting up there and babbling into thin air as a class sits there bored out of their mind. Teaching is kind of what I do here on the radio, where we take a lot longer to go through material on the radio than I have available to discuss on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. Teaching is about making disciples. Teaching is about imparting information into a person's life that they are going to be, that they're going to put into practice. There are a lot of classes that they teach in school, and then you get out into the real world and you ask this question, am I ever going to use that information? There are a lot of classes that I've had that I rarely use that information. But I will tell you this, there are a lot of people who think, man, I'm going to go into construction. Do I really need to study trigonometry and analytics and geometry? And the answer to that question is most certainly yes, because you're going to be making all sorts of angle cuts. You need to be able to measure. You need to be able to figure out on paper, you know, how long this needs to be. And so there are going to be times you think, I don't need this information, and you actually do. And then there's going to be other times people teach you things and you say, they're never going to use this. I want you to know that the things that we teach about the Spirit of the living God, the things that are in the Word of God that we are to be taught about Jesus and how we should live and the eternal destiny of people, those are eternal truths. Those are vitally important, and we need to learn them. Jesus didn't tell us to go into the world and make converts. He told us to go into the world and make disciples. So if you do not have someone in your life who is teaching you the ways of God, we want to invite you to Merit Assembly of God, where you can come and grow with us as we learn to grow in being a blessing to other people so that they are edified and find their purpose. God bless you. We'll see you next time right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merit Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, meritassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to meritassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. She